In the year 428 AD, a man by the name of Nestorius became the patriarch bishop of Constantinople. And he began teaching some very strange things. He believed that Jesus Christ was two persons, a human person and a divine person. And he claimed that these two persons coexisted right next to each other, but they didn't mix very well together, kind of like oil and water. Nestorius also proposed that the famous and popular title of Mary as Mother of God be dropped, and that the title Mother of Christ be used instead. He argued that Mary was only the mother of the human person of Christ, not the Mother of God. Now, way down in Egypt, the Bishop of Alexandria, St. Cyril, reacted so strongly to this false teaching that he wrote some very bold letters to Nestorius up north in Constantinople, condemning his heretical ideas. Here is just an excerpt of one of St. Cyril's letters. "I am exceedingly astounded that there could be anyone who has any doubt as to whether the Blessed Virgin Mary should be called the Mother of God. If our Lord Jesus Christ is God, then the Blessed Virgin Mary who gave him birth should be called the Mother of God. This is the faith that our Lord's disciples transmitted to us." The heated debate between St. Cyril and his supporters and Nestorius and his followers continued to escalate until the year 431, when the Roman Emperor Theodosius II called all the bishops of the world to a special council in Ephesus to decide the matter once and for all. You might know that Ephesus is a very special biblical place. Ephesus is where St. Paul lived and worked for 3 years, the Bible says. It's where he appointed St. Timothy as his successor as the Bishop of Ephesus. But most importantly, Ephesus is the very place where St. John the Apostle and our Blessed Mother lived after our Lord's ascension into heaven. When you visit Ephesus, you can see the house where Mary lived. I had somebody come up to me after the last Mass, and they were all excited. They said, "We've been to the house of Mary in Ephesus." So they know exactly what I'm talking about. It was here, not by accident, but by a happy act of divine providence. It was here in Ephesus, near the home of our Blessed Mother Mary, in the year 431, that the fathers of the council officially declared that Jesus is only one person. He's a divine person, but he has two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. You can't be two persons. Jesus is only a divine person, but he acts through his two natures, his divine nature and his human nature. Make no mistake about it, Jesus has a human body, a human soul, a human mind, a human will, and a human heart. Now, the Council of Ephesus also declared that Mary is indeed the Theotokos, which is the Greek word for God-bearer. The Council clearly said that Mary did not give birth to a human person. She gave birth to a divine person, Jesus Christ. And so the fathers of the Council said, Mary is indeed the Mother of God. I kind of like the way that my friend Pope St. John Paul II explains it. He says, Motherhood is a relationship of a person to a person. A mother is not only the mother of the body or the physical creature born of her womb, but of the person she begets. Thus, having given birth according to this human nature to the person of Jesus, who is a divine person, Mary is the mother of God. Last night, for New Year's Eve, my parents were here for Mass. And after Mass, I introduced my mother by saying, "I'd like to introduce to you the mother of my body." It's true, isn't it? My mom is only the mom of my body. She's not the mom of my soul. She didn't create my soul, did she? God created my soul. I said, "I'd like to introduce to you the mother of my body." No, I didn't say that, did I? I said, "I'd like to introduce to you my mom. Because my mom is the mom of all of me, my whole person, both my body and my soul." And so in the same way, we know that Mary did not create the human soul of Jesus. And we know that Mary certainly did not create God. But our Blessed Mother doesn't just give birth to the body of Jesus, to his bones and muscles and arms and hands and legs. She gives birth to a person. And there is only one person, the divine person of Jesus Christ. You see, a person who denies that Mary is the mother of God either denies that Jesus is God or believes that Jesus is two persons, human and divine. The venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, "Any objection to calling Mary the mother of God is fundamentally an objection to the divinity of Christ." And so today's beautiful feast of Mary is really all about Jesus. You see, by saying that Mary is the mother of God, what we're really saying is that Jesus is God. That's why our mother, the Church, asks us to attend Mass every year on the eighth day of Christmas. This January the 1st is the octave day of Christmas. It's the eighth day of Christmas, and it is always a holy day of obligation. Not just when January the 1st falls on a Sunday. Every year, this is a holy day of obligation, even when January the 1st falls during the middle of the week. Why? Because the Church wants us to celebrate today not only Mary's motherhood, but most importantly, that her son is not just any baby boy. Her son is God. There was an ancient tradition in the city of Rome that everyone celebrated the eighth day of Christmas with great solemnity in honor of Mary, the mother of God. You might remember back in Ephesus, you remember back in the year 431, something interesting happened when the Council Fathers met. All of a sudden, Christians started coming to Ephesus. And they wanted to hear firsthand the bishop's decision at the council. And when Pope Celestian read the council's proclamation that Mary was indeed the mother of God, the people were so overjoyed that they started to celebrate. And you know what they did? They carried all the bishops of the council, all 200 of them, up on their shoulders, and they processed through the streets of Ephesus with a candlelit procession. They were so filled with joy. And the Catholic apologist Scott Hahn, in his book Hail Holy Queen, reflects on this celebration in Ephesus. He says, "Now think about the intensity of the affection those believers had for our Blessed Virgin Mary. To go to the council, to wait outdoors for the bishop's decree, and then to spend the night in celebration, all because Mary has received her due honor." He continues, they would not act this way out of love for an academic argument, nor would they celebrate the triumph of a metaphor. Would they make this perilous journey to Ephesus for the sake of any other mother? No, he says, only for their own. For their own mother was also the mother of God. When we call Mary Mother of God, we share in that joy so long ago. And so, like the early Christians in Ephesus and in Rome, we come here today for a New Year's Day party. Like so many Christians who have gone before us, on this, the eighth day of Christmas, we come to celebrate Mary as the Mother of God. And we come here to celebrate her eight-day-old son as truly God in the flesh. And as noble sons of so worthy a mother, we beg for Mary's help as a mom. As my mom. For just as Mary gives birth to God in Bethlehem, so too does Mary give birth to the divine life of grace in our souls. Mary is our mom, not naturally, but supernaturally. The Second Vatican Council says she is a mother to us in the order of grace. And so what else can we do but fly to you, O Virgin of virgins, my mother, O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.